Welcome in to the weekend watch list. How is everybody doing this morning? It is Friday, September 21st. We are here to kick off the weekend. Hope you guys are having a good one. It should be more fall-like weather here in Wisconsin this weekend. It's been a little hot, so I'm kind of appreciative. I'm a big fall guy. Big hoodie and shorts, like give me that, or half sleeves. Give me all of that. So, and it's a good weekend. Good weekend for sports. We are 2 weeks away from the baseball season being done, or a week away, actually. And then we have college football getting into the conference season. You also have some good NFL games. I wouldn't say this is as strong of an NFL slate, but we will help you out there. Part of Murph's Fantasy on Saturday. You can listen to that. And then on Sunday, we'll have the NFL Wake and Take. It'll actually probably be a little earlier for you guys than it's been in the past, just from the fact that I don't have to wait for Aaron Rodgers and his injury like I did last week. And we're in a good flow. I'm excited for it. I'm excited for that show on Sunday. All right, let's waste no more time for the watch list. So number one on my list this week is Wisconsin versus Iowa. Yes, it is not the Packers. Packers actually came in third in terms of overall intrigue from a local standpoint. To me, Wisconsin and Iowa is the most interesting matchup of the weekend for sports because you have a Badger team who lost to BYU. They were torn up on the ground. There is a lot of, are we sure they're good? Like, I don't know right now. Like, I do not know if the Badgers defense is good. Like, there are some legitimate question marks about this Jim Leonard defense to really know, hey, is this team just young and this is going to be sort of the standard and they may lose three or four games this year and it's not going to be this sort of dream season that everybody envisioned and that we should have all sort of seen this coming and maybe we should have not jumped over our skis. It's possible. Or it's a blip in the radar and they dominate and they play really well. I mean, Iowa's offense has not been world beaters at any means. I mean, they've been okay, but I mean, consider who they've played. I mean, they've played Northern Illinois, who is a terrible offense. They are one of the worst in the NCAA. Then you had an FCS team in Northern Iowa and you had Iowa State. Iowa State is impressive, but you only had 13 points against the Big 12 team. I mean, they're not known for defense or offense. Yeah, they're not known for defense. They're known for their offense, which Iowa did help hold them to 3 points. I think the turnover battle is going to be crucial. Wisconsin did not force a turnover in last week's loss. I think whoever wins the turnover battle likely wins the game. I know that's a little bit John Madden-y. That usually is in most games. But seriously, I think the turnovers is where this thing's going to be won or lost for the Badgers or for Iowa. I really do. Nate Stanley and Hornibrook both can be turnover happy. So we'll see if that proves to be true. I do have the Badgers winning 16-13. I think it's going to be a very close game. I think it's going to be an awesome game to watch. I really, really am excited for Saturday night. I think it's going to be fantastic. Anytime you really get your team you cheer for as a night game on Saturday is great because it's just an excuse to get drunk and have a lot of fun, you know, and have maybe go over to buddy's house and or go to the bar. I mean, it's always nice to start off your night with that. And you have the Brewers going as well. And that's number two, the Brewers versus the Pirates. Can Milwaukee finally figure out Pittsburgh? They have to deal with Ivan Nova again on Friday. Remember, Travis Shaw owns him, has just amazing numbers against Nova in his career. Then they have to see Trevor Williams on Saturday, which is unfortunate. And then Joe Musgrove on Sunday. So they do miss Jameson Taillon. That's nice. Wade Miley goes on Sunday and Zach Davies on Saturday for the Brewers. So a little bit of a similar matchups. No Chris Archer either. But I wouldn't mind playing Chris Archer. The Pirates aren't really scoring many runs, but they're not giving up many runs either. They, I believe, have won the last four games by one run, which is the first time they've done that in eons, I think really since like the turn of the century. So the Brewers obviously have to take advantage. I mean, PNC Park, just weird shit happens. I think tonight is crucial. Like, if they can get a win under their belts, and I realize they won Friday and then lost Saturday and Sunday, but if they could get a win tonight just to sort of, like, cure some of those demons, because they've lost five straight at PNC Park, and that is not a stat you want to hear, especially when they did get swept, hypothetically speaking. It would be a complete disaster heading to St. Louis on Monday night. So the Brewers really need to take care of business here and just keep doing what you did on Monday and Wednesday. I mean, adding on runs, hitting home runs. I mean, you don't have to rely on the long ball, and that's sometimes the worry at PNC is these guys try to just take it out. It's like, just good hitting, just relax. I think, you know, obviously Christian Yelich will be a key cog to this, and hopefully weird shit doesn't happen, because it does always seem like whenever you go to PNC, just weird fucking shit happens, and that hopefully that isn't the case. All right, number three is the Green Bay Packers versus the Redskins. I don't have as much juice for this as I did for the Vikings and the Bears for obvious reasons, right? It's not a division game. I think the Redskins aren't a layup. I think when Mitch and I talked earlier this week, I was very much like, oh yeah, they're going to win by two scores. I actually still have them winning 31-21, but I did give Washington a little more points and a little more credit. Like, I don't think this is as easy. I know that Indianapolis only held them to 9 points, but Alex Smith can kind of have these weird, bizarre games where he just doesn't show up. Like, it's something people saw in Kansas City, they saw in San Francisco, and then the next game he's fine. So we'll see. I mean, they have to slow down Chris Thompson. That is goal number one. And Chris Thompson scares the shit out of me. I mean, that's the type of guy who could really tear up the Packers and really be a difference maker in Sunday's game. Jordan Reed, obviously, also a problem on that offense. For Aaron Rodgers, we'll see how his knee holds up on the road. Obviously, the turf there is a little different than the turf at Lambeau. That's such a minute thing, but you never know. That could be an issue. I'm not going to like make it one. I think it's better that they're playing earlier in the year, because FedEx Field does get torn up at the end of the year, but you had a couple college games on there. So who knows? I don't think it's going to be a problem, but I mean, would it surprise me if it was? No, not really. I'm big on Jimmy Graham. I think Packers Twitter is going to have a meltdown because Aaron Jones won't play too much. I think people need to understand that Aaron Jones really didn't play that much in preseason. And I get it. I think Aaron Jones is the most talented guy. I know that everybody who thinks they're the smartest person on Twitter knows Aaron Jones is the best player, best running back on the team. Not best player, obviously. But he needs some time. He needs some time on the field. Like, he just needs to get acclimated to the offense. He hasn't really played much in the he didn't play much in the preseason. He didn't have as many training camp reps as Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams should still be that guy, even though the yards per carry obviously does not say so. All right, moving on to other games that are non-local. The Rams versus Chargers to me is the best NFL game of the weekend that isn't the Packers. Like, I hate this game is nowhere to be found on television. I haven't looked to see if maybe we got blessed with a late afternoon CBS game with the Packers playing, which sometimes does happen. I didn't look. That would be awesome, because I think this is the best game of the slate. Like, I really do. I think it's an awesome matchup. I think both teams are really good. Both teams are potential Super Bowl contenders. And I don't really know if I think we all think the Rams are really good, right? We all think the Rams are a very good football team, but they've played the Oakland Raiders, who are probably one of the top 10 worst teams in football. They played the Arizona Cardinals, who maybe are the worst team in football. How good are they? Like, I think the Rams, it's a home game for the Rams, and I think they're a 7-point favorite. I think I'm all over the Chargers in that game. Like, I don't think this game's going to be that. I think it's going to be close. Like, I think it's going to be a 3-point game either way. I wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers went outright. Like, I think that everyone's a little bit too high on the Rams early on. I get it, but, you know, this is there. I really do think that the Rams-Chargers is the game to watch. I would say that, you know, 49, we'll talk about another game, but 49ers and Chiefs also is exciting with the Mahomes versus Garoppolo thing and all of that goes in there. Moving to golf. So the Tour Championship is this weekend. I'm not a huge fan of the Tour Championship just because I think the course stinks. Like, I think East Lake is pretty much a trash course. Like, it's just not really a fun golf course to watch. That said, you have the best players in the world going at it. You have a good leaderboard to start out on Thursday. Tiger Woods tied for the lead with Ricky Fowler. Justin Rose is in the mix. You have a bunch of others. So we'll see. I mean, it's very unpredictable. Tiger could win the FedEx Cup. I doubt it. He'd need a lot to happen for him to win the FedEx Cup. That said, if he took home the Tour Championship and ended his season that way, it would almost be a warning shot for 2019. So Tiger being involved makes Sunday interesting. We'll see if he can keep it up through the weekend. But yeah, no, he had an eagle to put himself tied for the lead to start or for the end of round one. So he's definitely ready. I think he's going to be a big factor in the Ryder Cup, which may make number one on the watch list next week. Although they'll be going on as we tape, unless I tape Thursday night, which I'll try to do next week. Number six, I have Notre Dame and Wake Forest. So in my notes, I have upset alert. And I think, you know, this is a little bit of a Super Bowl for Wake Forest. Like, Wake Forest 2-1. They're a solid team. They lost to a very good Boston College team on primetime last Thursday night. Now you get Notre Dame coming to town. Notre Dame's only a 7-point favorite. And I definitely think there's going to be an atmosphere in the stadium. Like, it's definitely one that Wake Forest wants. And Wake Forest can't beat Notre Dame. Like, Notre Dame's been decent this year, but they've definitely shown that they are ripe for the taking. You know, they nearly lose to Vanderbilt last week, and they struggled kind of against Ball State. Like, they really have not been a top 10 team. And it's just sort of by the preseason rankings and them continuing to win. I would not be surprised to see Wake Forest pull this upset. There are a few other looming road games for top-ranked teams. You have Mississippi State heading to Kentucky. That's later in the day. You have Georgia-Missouri, which is running also at the 11 o'clock hour. Clemson goes to Georgia Tech. I don't think that'll be an issue for Clemson, but you never know. So there's a couple games like that where you have teams who are ranked heading on against unranked, pretty high quality road team. So don't be surprised if a couple upsets happen. It's about time, right? Like, it's been 3 weeks. I think Badgers have really been the only surprising upset. I think it's about time we get a few upsets in the mix. Number seven is the Cubs and the White Sox. So rivalry weekend in Chicago, very late for a crosstown matchup. Brewers will know what the Cubs did before their game starts, or as their game gets underway. It's a 3:10 start today. So interesting there. I don't expect much, because obviously the White Sox have nothing to play for, and they've been kind of okay. They battled the Indians this week pretty well, but at the same time, it's like, they don't have much. The only thing they may have going for them, and even though it's not like a true rivalry, it's still a bit of a rivalry. Obviously, the White Sox have reached little brother status because of the Cubs' success and the Cubs winning the World Series. And yes, the White Sox did too in 2005, but I think we all just sort of forget that. But I don't think the White Sox want the Cubs to celebrate the NL Central or celebrate anything on their field. Like, I do not think that, to me, is what's going to motivate the White Sox. Like, they don't want those motherfuckers to celebrate victories and stuff like that. Like, they want, this is kind of their World Series. Like, this is kind of their last gasp at relevancy. And if they take 2 out of 3 against the Cubs, it's a great way to end the season. Like, granted, you have another week, but it's something to put a feather in your cap. The White Sox have been scrappy at times. They took 2 out of 3 from the Brewers, if you remember, back in June. So who knows? Maybe that happens, but we'll see what goes down on the South Side this weekend. Number 8 is TCU in Texas. So again, another ranked team heading on the road. TCU has owned Texas in the past. They're 3.5-point favorite. So again, this is one of those, like, a very much a curiosity play for me. Like, TCU looked pretty good against Ohio State. TCU looked like they could compete at the highest level. And even though they lost to Ohio State in a fury, they definitely were a contender without question. Now, Texas looked really good against USC. It was the first time in forever that we could make a claim that, is Texas back? So this is really a follow-up. Okay, If you played that well against USC, is it because USC is kind of low-key trash this year? Or is it because Tom Herman's actually starting to do this thing for the Longhorns? We'll see. I think it's a good one. It's a great palate starter after or before the it's your appetizer to the main course, which is Wisconsin-Iowa. And if Wisconsin-Iowa was a main course, it would be steak, potatoes, some sort of cream vegetable, maybe like cream corn, and then definitely a dessert of sorts. Number nine is the Steelers and the Buccaneers. So I get that Chiefs and Niners is a big game, just not a big game, but a game of interest, right? Because you have Mahomes, Garoppolo, you have sort of the shit talk between Tyreek Hill and Marquise Goodwin, and it's just, it's going to be an awesome football game. That said, this one is really exciting for a Monday night. You have so much hype around Fitzpatrick. How many goddamn pictures did I see of Ryan Fitzpatrick this week? Like, Jesus Christ, guys, get some more internet content. Like, everyone's so thirsty for NFL content. It's like, oh, look at this picture, Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I, like, it was a cool picture, don't get me wrong, but like, I saw, I don't know how many fucking times I saw it on Twitter this week. It's so bad. But anyways, and then speaking of bad, I mean, the Steelers, there's so much drama around Pittsburgh right now. It's fascinating, right? If the Steelers go 0-2-1 and lose another game, you know, will Mike Tomlin get fired? Like, would they fire Mike Tomlin at this point? The Steelers do not fire anyone. They've never, I'm sure, I haven't looked it up, but I would guess they've never fired somebody mid-season. So if you're thinking that way, I think he was 1,600 for the first coach fired on Bovada. Maybe you want to put a little scratch down. Who knows? I don't know. Not a bad bet. All right, wrap up the watch list with number 10 being the Cardinals and Giants again. Keeping our eye on baseball, keeping our eye on the races. Kind of easy street for the St. Louis Cardinals. The competition for the Brewers this weekend does not have much. So it shouldn't be too hard for the Cardinals. They obviously want to take care of business and keep a 1.5 game lead over the Colorado Rockies, who play the Diamondbacks this weekend. But we'll see if the Cardinals can do that. And if they do, will they put pressure on the Brewers, who, if they struggle again against Pittsburgh, A, it could mean the Cubs clinch the NL Central, and B, it could mean that all of a sudden we have a race for who gets a home wild card game between the Cardinals and Brewers. So a lot on the line with baseball, a lot on the line for the Badgers, and always stuff on the line for the Green Bay Packers. So look forward to talking to you for Wake and Take on Sunday. Look forward to be back in the saddle for Daily Tap on Monday. We'll tape right after the Packer game, react to that. Talk about the Badgers and the Brewers. So, see you guys then. Enjoy Pardon Murph's Fantasy on Saturday. Have a good one. Bye.